So we got out there, we moved in with a family that we only met once. They were wonderful. We live in their barn in a studio apartment. That is wonderful. We have less space than my daughter over there, and less space than both my sons, but we are happy. We got to the new negotiation part with this property. We want to set it up as a retreat center for educating people about disabilities, but also to bring a spiritual oasis for people in distress because of a disability. Yeah, disabling condition was supposed to come out there. And their families, because as you all know, caretakers, caregivers who are watching someone struggle with a disability, they need a break. So that was our intention. We got to the purchase agreement, which was 13 pages, and our board, who are comprised of people that we love immensely, loved us enough to say, let's slow down a little bit here and put God back in perspective, and we're actually planning on hiring someone now that will take over the acquisition. The property is not at any risk of being lost, not only because no one's looking at it, but we know that whatever God wants, God gets. And if this is what he wants Seek the Son to have, we will get it. In the meantime, looking at Ken one more time.
Yep, there's one thing that Teresa's not telling you, and this is one of the reasons that we did move out east is for Teresa's help.
I was getting there.
I know you were, but you're slow. Teresa's health while we were here was slowing down. It was she wasn't getting healthier, she was getting sicker. So our doctor said we need to move. And we had been planning this move for 3 years now. And it finally came to head that we did need to do that. Teresa, when she was here, and this is how God works in our lives and how fast he moves in our lives, is when we're here, we're put into ministry, and we're put into ministry fast, and we're put in, and it's God's timing, not ours. But at the same time, Teresa's health was slowly, gradually getting worse. She was actually very close to losing all of her hearing when she was here. She was on the cochlear implant list. She was pretty much just maybe 6 months away from getting a cochlear implant. We moved. Her allergies here were just horrendous. So she was, to put it mildly, she was sick.
Yeah.
We moved to Vermont, and within 3 months, her allergies were about 90% cleared up. She is totally off the cochlear implant list.
Woo-hoo!
She actually got hearing back. And that's only by the touch of God that happened, because he is the ultimate physician. And he was calling us there. And I'm grateful because I get to have her longer and I get to have her healthier. More energy, which at times really is not a good thing. But ultimately, it's only by God's grace and God's blessings, God's doctoring, that she is healthier.
And I am very thankful. And for some of you that you know, as we have prayer team people, as we're traveling across the country, my health has just gone down the tubes in the last week or so. So if you do see me diminishing, you know, just pray. Don't be fearful. I'm not. I have a wonderful team of doctors here and back in Vermont, and, you know, whatever needs to happen, needs to happen. But one thing that God did teach us, and it ties into my message, but I really wanted to talk about it in our update, is that when Ken and I moved to Vermont, we became non-existent citizens in so many people's eyes in that state and in other states around it. And the main reason being is that the disabled in this country is still fighting for civil rights. Many disabled people still cannot vote because it's not accessible. Many disabled people don't have the opportunity to get medical insurance, including the two people up here. When we moved to Vermont, we had to go on their exchange program, not because of the amount of money we made, but because that was the only program in order to get insurance, private or public, in the state. You have to say that you're disabled within the first few questions. As soon as you're disabled, your poverty level is different than the person next to you, living right next to you, and you're disqualified because the poverty level is so incredibly low. Do they care? Yeah, the doctors care. Every person, I imagine, cares. But as a collective group, they don't know what to do about it. And it's not just in Vermont, it's in many other states. And Ken and I have been hearing about this all through our ministry. But Minnesota doesn't have these same issues. And we needed to live there. We needed to be humbled. We needed to be broken. I was very broken on the brink of, you know, having my cancer be pretty well under control and all these other things, thinking now I have to pay for all of these bills. And it's intimidating, it's scary. But one other part that God orchestrated, the town that we ended up moving to, as I said, we just met this family once. They had a place for us to stay. They love the Lord. They have 8 children with special needs. They were very much hurt by their home church, and they wanted someone to love and pray with them, and so we decided to live intentionally with them. In that same town, 2 months before we moved in, a 13-year-old boy who had many physical limitations and was on a feeding tube was having a rough time just sleeping, and his caregivers were tired and overwhelmed. And they put vodka in his feeding tube, and he was killed. This mother and her boyfriend were not charged with murder. They were not charged with manslaughter. And I know Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I would not want them to be judged, but I do want this boy's life defended. And basically, the judge and other people concurred that in their eyes, he would never have a life that was worth fighting for. That's happening. So I heard about this case, and I don't want to point my finger at everybody we're living with. I mean, I love the people in our community. There's so many wonderful things, but how do I say to them, guys, everybody could get a disability at one point in their life. This boy had a wonderful record in school. There was so much going on with him. The mom and the boyfriend needed some assistance. But as I started researching all the cases of this type of non-prosecution, because it's a disabled life that was ended, you would be absolutely saddened to know that it happens everywhere. So Ken and I take hope, and as we are continuing to do worship services, Bible studies, ministering to those in the church, we are also ministering to those outside of the church, helping them to realize that, yes, your life is worthy, and it's worthy because of Jesus. And that will lead me into my message, and I'm going to give him a hug. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the fact that we can come before you and pray openly and just feel your presence. Each one of us come here this morning with so many different backgrounds, and maybe we are just having a wonderful morning, or maybe we're not. Whatever the situation, Father God, you make it all equal because you love us, you know us, you're there for us. I thank you for the delight of preaching here at a church that I grew up in, not maybe chronologically, but spiritually. Thank you for these people. Thank you for their servants' hearts. Show a blessing to each one of them. In your son's name. Amen. Okay, who did the Christmas shopping this Black Friday? Just, you know, any good deals? We actually made one purchase on Black Friday. Kind of scary, but it's amazing what you'll do for granddaughters. Gift shopping, it seems like that's on people's hearts after Thanksgiving, the beginning of Advent. So Ken and I last night had fun with Kelly and Earl, who have been just phenomenal and have had us in their home. And we were looking at the presents through the years that have been popular. So I wrote a few of these down. Back in 2010, it was the iPad. 2005, Xbox 360. The Razor scooter was about 5 years before that. 1995 was Beanie Babies. And hey, there's no electronic piece in a Beanie Baby. Just have to point that out. Back in 91, Pogs. Those little bottle cap type things. I remember when we did children's church, if I could give away a Pog, I would have so many obedient kids. 85, Care Bears. 80, a Rubik Cube. Again, no electronic parts there. 77, I just threw this in because it was fun, slime, that green, ooky, grooky stuff that I'm sure stained many carpets. 75, a pet rock. Yeah, pretty exciting one. And, you know, seriously, check out that one because the article was way too long, but basically this guy, there was nothing to these rocks. He just made a big hype about it, and we bought it. So there you go. 1959, Barbie. 52, Potato Head. 43, a Slinky. 36, Monopoly. 29, Yo-Yo. So it was pretty fun to look at those. There's a lot more on the list, but I love the internet. Some of the worst gifts, I just have a few of them here. Digital egg reminder. And you're like, okay, what's a digital egg reminder? It is a digital egg crate that will tell you when you have put your eggs in there and how much time you possibly have left. It was a flop. So that was one of the worst. Those affirmative, I can't say the word, CDs where it tells you over and over again that, yeah, you are loved. This is love. One of those, that's a flop. And the next one on the list was kind of sad for me because my hubby loves this gift. And I think he would be sad if we never got one. Maybe we should go dumpster diving. But a fruitcake. They say fruitcakes send terrible messages. Well, not to Ken. They say yay tummy. So if you have the burning desire to send someone a fruitcake, help yourself. He's right over there. And the last one, which was, you know, I almost did this. I just thought it was totally cool. Star naming. Apparently it's a hoax. So you'll get that nice pretty thing. But, yeah, you can't name a star after somebody. I bring all of this up because as we're looking for that quote-unquote perfect gift, I don't think we're ever going to find it. I think all of us have experienced at one point or another something that we've been given that's very special. Whether that's from your first love, whether it's from a child, a grandchild. I am amazed at what my two granddaughters can give me. And I think, wow, that's gold. Everyone else would probably look at it like, okay. But there's that special feeling. But more exciting, I think, is that when we search for God's word and God's truth, we also find that perfect gift that will give us that same sense of connection. Because that's what gifts are all about, is feeling connected with another person. And the connection that we can have with God's gift is incredible. So the scripture this morning is James 1:17, 1:18. I love the book of James, except when I'm feeling kind of down. It can kind of really slap you. A lot of practical applications. But I go back to James, and I'm really struck by the part at the very beginning of the book, in chapter 1, he wants us to know what we're going to be given. And then the rest of the book talks about what we need to do with that. And even though it's daunting, God promises to be right there. So let's read that passage, 1:17-18. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. What an honor. I read those words and they still give me goosebumps. It's incredible. The perfect gift comes from above. It doesn't matter what we find here on earth, whether it's wealth, whether, and yes, my book will be published next year. We get a book published. Whether it's marrying into the family that we just adore, it doesn't matter what our titles are here. That perfect gift, that perfect connection, what we need comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. When I first came to Oak Hill 17 years ago, and Vi has heard this, so not worrying here. I came because she was annoying me. Christopher, our middle child, was attending Awana and so happy, and he had to fill out his starter pack, and we had to go to church so many times in a row, and Vi saw a very dejected woman in me. I was so sad at that point. I loved my children, I loved my husband, but I always felt like I was just one step behind everything. And the first day I came to church, she took us around and introduced us to everybody, and it was awesome. I felt so blessed. People were so sincere and genuine. And then we got to service, and I was like, can it be over? And Vi kind of let us be. After we came with her later, it was really interesting because she always would sit with us. But that time, she just kind of left us. Not sure what was going on, but she was obviously following the Holy Spirit. Because that morning, I accepted Christ. And after, it was Pastor Lanny at the time, and after I went up to Lanny, and I will never forget this. He's like, what a miracle. He goes, I didn't even give a salvation message. And that was very comforting to me later in life, because I know no matter what the words are, if they're from the heart and from the Holy Spirit, God is working. Amen. Amen. And so I left that morning feeling wonderful. And we continued to come, and everyone was, you know, Vi stopped being annoying. It was wonderful. And through the years, as we continued to seek God's calling and served in ministry here and then became missionaries, Vi would push us a little bit harder. And I will never forget when she said that it was her ministry later in her years to help other people and to pray for other people. And there was one morning that I woke up about, I don't know, 2 or 2:30 in the morning, an absolute fear about just everything. I was starting to go to Bethel and some of the things we were starting to do. I just really felt scared. Did I pray? No, honestly, I didn't. I listened to worship music. And the next morning, Vi comes over and she goes, I have the need to pray with you. And right there and then, I just totally could see what Vi was talking about. Her ministry was to walk with others. And it was just incredible because she did not judge me. She didn't say, why didn't you pray? I don't know. She prayed with me. And in our ministering to the disabled and their family, I can't say, well, this is how it has to be done because of this. No. Their perfect gift also comes from God. And as a minister of the gospel, that means that I need to be there to love them through it, but not to judge, not to, you know, force them into anything. I can be annoying, Vi gave me permission, but in a loving way. The next part about this perfect gift, the perfect gift lasts forever. So we're talking about it comes from above, and the next part it says, who does not change, meaning our Heavenly Father, like shifting shadows. God is the same before, after, and later. He already knows what's going to happen. He created all of us. My life verse is Ephesians 2:10. He knew the plans before he created me. Sometimes that doesn't sink into me, but I take comfort in that when I finally look back at it again and say, of course I don't know what's going to necessarily happen. I'm not God. But we can take comfort in knowing that if we accept Jesus, if we take that call, and it doesn't mean you have to go into full-time missionaries and live in a barn in the top of a mountain. You can serve God right here at your secular job. But what it does mean is that you have that connection forever. But more importantly, you have the understanding to know that heaven is waiting for you. And that is a huge comfort. There's a balance with understanding what forever means. I think some people, when Ken and I speak at a conference or come to a church, I think they think that we're, a little crazy, because we keep talking about, yeah, we can be hurt now, our bodies might be falling apart, but eventually we'll have a new one. And time again, we hear, we want one now. And I don't know how many healing services that I've been to that people have tried to heal me. I want to be healed from my cancer. I want to be healed from my hearing loss. I want to be healed from many, many things. But my blindness is one that's kind of part of me. If God chooses to heal me from that, amen. But I don't necessarily ask for it. And why that is, I have no idea. But that is okay, because again, it comes from above. I know that God knows the plans. And I know that it's not just the plans for the next few years, but eternity. And for someone like me who likes to know details, I just love the fact knowing that God is right there. Many of you know that our son Chris struggled with cancer 2 years ago. And Ken and I were told that there was two choices, that he would die because the tumor was too close to his brain. It was a tumor in his lacrimal gland of his eye. Or that he would lose his vision. Well, in our family, losing your vision isn't so bad. However, Christopher was studying to be a commercial pilot, and flying was his dream. Well, Chris loves Jesus inside and out. And he was confident that God was going to give him not only his life, but his vision. And he did. Chris, it was a miracle. The surgeons all came out just absolutely astonished at what happened, because Chris didn't lose any vision at all. As a matter of fact, they never took his pilot's license away. He does have to go through screening, but Chris chose to stop his commercial aviation, and he felt that God was calling him into business and investment so he could serve him. And as he puts it, so Jesus can still be his wingman, because I guess when you fly, your wingman is very important. But Chris felt that as Jesus was his wingman, he was put here on this earth to help people's dreams come true. And Chris has gone to China now. He's traveled in several areas of the United States. And when you ask him, what do you do? He'll tell you first, I'm here to make a difference in somebody's life, Whether that's somebody that's a single parent, whether that's somebody that's disabled, whether that's somebody that just feels down on their luck, he said, if I can do something to make them see the love of Jesus, I've done it. And some of us who have walked the halls with Christopher, and some of us who have seen him go through his teenage years and his rebellion, let me tell you, if you're feeling like, Teresa, this perfect gift isn't for me, you don't know my past, well, take comfort in knowing that it was only 17 years ago that Ken and I put our trust in Jesus. And before that, many of the people don't know our past. And Christopher, he turned away from Jesus, and as he puts it, and I love his testimony, God gave him a second chance. And this past winter, he had another fear, another kind of wake-up call that, well, let me clarify that. I had another fear. He had a wake-up call that another tumor had come back. And we were talking, and I said, I just feel so helpless. And he said, Mom, I'm talking to you because you love Jesus. That hasn't changed. He said, I'm okay with the fact that this might be terminal and I might not be here tomorrow. I said, seriously? He goes, Mom, we have heaven. He said, what I'm not okay with is I haven't seen my daughter smile enough, and I haven't married the mom of my children, and I haven't lived out all the dreams I want to live. So he says, everything I want is here on earth. But he says, in the forever, I have Jesus. And that is what this is saying. In the forever, you have Jesus. The family that Ken and I are living with, they are incredible. They have 4 biological adult sons and 8 adopted children with special needs. And that word forever, I used to think it was some cheesy Hallmark word, has taken on a new meaning because these children, all of them came from orphanages around the world where a person with a disability, they thought either had a huge demon in them or they just didn't see them worthy as getting any love. And so their last child, Zebediah, that Ken and I had a part of playing to get him here in the U.S., he's 5 years old. He only weighs 30 pounds. 20 of those pounds are his head due to hydrocephalus. He wears clothes that are 3 to 6 months. That's how small he is. But he has a forever family. He's already speaking English. Every one of the children that, as Ken and I cared for them for a month as their parents were in Ukraine adopting Zebediah, the hope that these children had, even though they were in orphanages, many of them still remember not getting fed, not getting changed. But it didn't bother them. I mean, of course it must have bothered them, but they just look forward now and they say, we have our forever family. Their older children love Jesus. Their younger children love Jesus, just can't put into words yet. It's exciting to see. And it made that forever word take on a new meaning for me. The third part of our perfect gift is that it comes with purpose and responsibility. The last part of this passage, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits from all that he created. When you accept Jesus, many people talk about a second birth. Baptism is a symbol of that. The word of truth, the Bible. The word truth screams, of course there's responsibility. And I've spoken of many of the responsibilities that Ken and I have kind of taken on in the past 17 years, but Ken is quick to remind me, and I think it's because I still somehow had this feeling in my mind that my health I can control. That if I tried a little harder, or if, I don't even know what. The expectations are silly. I didn't give myself cancer. But there's this desire to make it better all on your own. And our board and Ken would constantly say to me, relax in the Lord, rest in the Lord. And this past year has given me that ability. Because my health improved so dramatically, I had extra time to play, extra time to just spend resting in the Lord. So many of my hours, I slept this fitful sleep of someone that was just so sick. And they were absolutely right. So when we look at that word purpose, don't feel like you have to go out there and just take on the world. Whether it's the purpose of simply learning to rest in him. I realized I was an incredible witness to others just by my wanting to say, I do want to just rest in the Lord. I've had the opportunity to talk to people about that, to pray with people about that. It doesn't matter what God has you doing on earth. Well, it does matter, of course, but the scale of it doesn't matter. Where you fit in doesn't matter, because you are still loved by God equally.
Amen.
And that's the part that I think sometimes we lose sight of. I teach at Bethel, and I've had the opportunity this winter that I'm going to be teaching international students about children advocacy and disabilities. I've had many people in the secular world say to me, oh, great, I bet the income is just phenomenal. I said, sure, it's for nothing. Because this program wouldn't exist without doctoral students like myself who are silly enough to say, yes, I'm going to teach for free because I want these people to learn. And 10 years ago, I probably would have cared what someone else thought. Now I don't care because I'm serving Jesus. And I know that I also don't want to judge them because they're just not getting it yet. But they will when they know Jesus. There's hope for all of us, no matter what stage we're at. And I attribute my spiritual understanding to my walk here at Oak Hill and my continued walk with Oak Hill, even though we're halfway across the country. Oak Hill is a very strong, genuine church. And at times, our congregation has experienced much brokenness. And that, yeah, it's rough. And yeah, sometimes I think we all wonder what's next. But the point is, people are still coming to Jesus here. And that is what it's all about.
Amen.
It's not about how much money's in the checking account. It's not about who's doing what, where. We can all make that happen as leadership. What does matter is that we're here loving on people like Ken and I 17 years ago and made it possible, even though we were disabled. You guys didn't pick up on that, by the way. You still loved us through it. And we can't go into a church now without someone saying, oh, you need to sit here. We only want disabled people to sit here. Or, oh, you please don't come to our worship service because your blindness shows us that your sin in your life is way too bad. Seriously? Yeah, that's what they say. And only with the credentials of pastor and doctorate can I sit down with those pastors and say, you know, your idea that my sin is so great because of my blindness, I want to talk to you about it. It still is a tough world out there. Does Oak Hill have all the answers? No. We were just hearing about a church in New York City, Dave Wilkerson's church, well known for accepting people into their door. It's a church in Times Square. It's huge. But they insist that someone that comes in with a disability, whether it's a walker, whether it's a wheelchair, whether it's no mobility devices at all, if they can see that you're disabled, they put you in this one spot in the back. If you don't stay in that spot, the ushers come and ask you to please go back. And if you try to leave again, security comes and asks you to leave. That's not showing the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm not saying this to put this church down. I'm saying this because the church knows how to minister, and they need us in love to walk beside them and help them through a difficult time. And all churches experience that. So as we close today, I just want to thank you that you allowed Ken and I to experience this perfect gift. And I challenge you as a member and as a fellow sister in Christ to continue, no matter what the struggle, to open your doors to invite others to share in that gift. Because Jesus is here. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you that you did send your son. And Father God, I pray today that if someone does not know you, or perhaps they know you, but it's not feeling right, I pray that they take a moment and say, yes, I do want that perfect gift that comes from above. I want salvation. I want to know that heaven is my forever. And that they understand it comes with purpose and responsibility, and that there's people beside them to walk along with them. But most of all, Father God, we live in a broken world, whether it's North Minneapolis, whether it's on the streets of another country. I pray in that brokenness that we hold out our hand and love and reach and just hold, even when we don't know what to say, and not put a finger out. Because, Father God, we are Jesus with skin on. Be with us in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I get a hug again, okay? Teresa mentioned they are members of Oak Hill. We are one of their sending churches. We support them financially. We support them by prayer. I hope we continue to do that. But I hope after the service you'll go out and meet your friends and family. But I want us to pray for them and for their ministry. As you've heard, we had lunch with them, Ken and Teresa and Paul and Jolene and Sharon and I a week ago. And surprising, the blindness there is in people that see, but they don't have spiritual sight. Let's just pray. Would you reach your arms out and for them? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would keep your hand upon your messengers, our friends and our family. Holy Spirit, teach them how they can be more effective and anoint them to help people not only with the disability of the physical, but also with the disability of the spiritual. Mm-hmm. Lord, help them to be a channel whereby the salvation and the grace of Jesus will break the chains of sin. Thank you for their willingness to serve so far from their family, even if it's God's country out there. But we pray that you'd be with them, Lord. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now I get another hug.
I invite you to stand as we close. With Jesus, your name is power.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name.
know that about Jesus? He's power and he brings life. We have some visitors today. Join us after the service in the back. We have coffee. We'd like to get to know each one of you. If anyone needs prayer for anything, I'll be in the back. And we have a God that heals and brings peace. And we're happy to pray with you. Go in God's peace today and let the Holy Spirit work through you. Amen.